time to listen to a replay of the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, issues and events, brought to you by Placemakers every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. Dion hosted last week's show and she talked with Steve the Butcher and the amazing Soul Sister, but first of all she talked with the delightful Rosalie from the Waiheke Library.
Good morning, Rosalie. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's such a beautiful morning to be alive in our wonderful Waiheke. And for those people on the other side of the globe who are having rain and so on, just be envious, because here at Waiheke we're feeling odiously smug. And I'm feeling particularly smug this morning because yesterday I was watching the Oscar nominations. Ooh, and yeah. Yes, ooh la la. And two of my favourite books have been made into films, and they're two of the films which have been nominated. The first is The Reader by Bernard Schultz.
Okay.
S-C-H-L-I-N-K. And the second is Q&A by Vikas Swarup, and it's Slumdog Millionaire. And both books I've recommended in the past, but I'll do so again because they're so good and so different. The Reader is quite a small book, but I read it about, I think 9 or 10 years ago, just after it was translated into English, and I still find myself thinking about it in some parts. The main character is Michael, a lawyer, and he starts off as a 15-year-old boy, and he's feeling very sick, and he's on a tram, and the kind tram conductor realizes that, you know, this boy is ill, and so she takes him to her home and looks after him. And then the two of them begin an affair. She is much, much older than this 15-year-old.
Oh,
but yes. And then it goes to 8 years later, and he has never quite forgotten this woman. And he goes to, as a law student, to a trial. And he realizes that his long-lost friend is one of the defendants. And in fact, she ends up, he finds out that she was a Nazi guard for an SS camp, and he still has this resolution, if you like, of this kind person and his lover, and who taught him so much. And yet, here she is, in a war crimes trial. And it sort of does bring in the Holocaust, it brings in the horror of that, and it shows her working in the camp, it flicks back to that time, and then it moves on. So it's in three stages of life. The next time Michael hears of this woman, she is in prison, and he's been married, divorced, had a child, and he's still very much influenced by this woman and still trying to resolve the issues. So it's a wonderful book. I can't tell you too much more what happens. It's not an easy book to read, but a book that 10 years later you still find yourself thinking about, that's a wow factor
book. Wow, that is. Yeah.
So
that
I'm looking
intriguing.
Very much to seeing that in the movies. Mm-hmm. And if they've done it well, it will be superb. Now, the next one, Q&A, I thought was fascinating. For a start, I love Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
Excuse me, my voice is going all funny. I'll just try that. I hope that cough didn't echo too much. And it's a wonderful book. Again, it shows the underbelly of India. It's an orphan boy who is brought up by a series of different people. So, for example, his name is Ram Muhammad Thomas, because everybody, a Hindu has him, then a Muslim, and then a Christian. And, of course, because of that, he learns all these answers. And the program has only been running a few weeks, and he wins it. And they haven't got a million, so they think he must have cheated, so they throw him into the police. And so all that, and then eventually he goes to a psychologist, sent to a psychologist, and to ferret out what the truth is. And so all in all, again, I'm not going to tell you more, but do read the book Q&A by Vikas Swarup. And that's what the Slumdog Millionaire has been based on.
Yeah.
I tell you, a good book means a good film usually.
Yeah, it can do.
Now, the other thing that's going on in the news is, of course, the Chinese New Year. Well, we've just had the Chinese New Year, and it's the Year of the Ox.
The Year of the Ox, prosperity through hard work and endeavour.
That's it, Dion.
Now, who's our famous ox, Rosalie?
Barack Obama. And when did he start his presidency? Just bang on the Year of the Ox.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating,
isn't it? Chinese astrology, we've got books on that at the library. We've got a Lonely Planet China, Lonely Planet Asia, and also in the Eyewitness series, which is a series I particularly like. They're small, and I know people do borrow them because of our nice long lengthy period, 4 weeks, and go and take them with them, and then they can look up the best hotels for their budget and the best gardens, and if they're wanting something peaceful or if they're wanting the best shopping.
Yeah.
The Eyewitness series are very good, and they've got lots of pictures in them, which I find very good. So if you're planning on China as a visit for this year, well, just remember it's the Year of the Ox, and we have lots of books on China, and then also we have books by Chinese authors. I think in that I include Amy Tan, who's Chinese American. I still think of the Bone Setter's Daughter as one of my favourites. And, of course, it brings in the whole astrology and the superstition of the older families and the tradition of following the Chinese horoscopes and so on. Another one I like is Nicola Moens and her book, Cup of Light, where an American goes over to find out about this porcelain. This American student goes there, and she is an antiquarian specializing in porcelain, and they can't understand how these millions of dollars worth of porcelain have turned up in a New York sale room. And because of the integrity of the shop is involved, they send her to China to find out what's happened, because as far as they can tell, they're genuine, and they realize they've got millions of dollars worth, but how did it happen? Yeah. So that's basically the story, Cup of Light. Another one which she wrote, I read a couple of years ago, and again, it's fun to read, Dion, The Last Chinese Chef. And she falls in love with a Chinese man who's a chef, and he has to prepare this sumptuous banquet to be named. And again, I'm not going to tell you what happened. So, Dion,
just enough to intrigue us.
Yes, I hope so. Moenes, Nicola, if you remember that, or type that in the website.
Yeah.
Now, new fiction, Going Green.
Oh, do you need the coffee can?
Going Green is a wise consumer's guide to a shrinking planet, and it's by American mother and daughter Sally and Sadie Kneidel. Now, I do apologize if I've said that incorrectly, but if you want to put it on the website, it's K-N-E-I-D-E-L. Now, although it's not a Kiwi one, it's still very down to earth. And she talks about earth houses and solar and gardens. She's actually quite amazing on the subject of lawns. She actually is quite anti-lawn, because she said, well, that's fifth biggest crop in America, and we should be putting it into natives so that the birds and the ecosystems, and we shouldn't be having
gardens that can be
reliance on lawns. Yeah. And I thought, oh, never thought of that. Yeah.
And then you've got to mow them and all the fuel that they take.
Yes, and the costs and, you know, sort of. So, and at the back is something that I liked very much. It's an appendix. And yes, I know you'll say, well, of course there's an appendix. But it's really good, because so if you want to look up what's tips, you can say things to consider while shopping, safety and health. Does the item contain toxic ingredients or residue? Is it independently tested or certified? Value for money, resource efficiency, environmental impact. So she deals with all these things. So it's really... although it's American, it's very, very thoughtfully done.
Yeah.
And I think people who are into eco, and I hope that's everyone on Waiheke, will find it in the library. Kneidel, Sally and Sadie Kneidel, Going Green, A Wise Consumer's Guide to a Shrinking Planet.
Oh, that looks like it'd be very interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of Waiheke people out there who would be keen on a little read of that.
Oh, yes.
Going
yes,
green.
Yes. And then just for a bit of fun, Martin Clune's A Dog's Life. And I thought, where have I seen him before? And I thought, he's that TV guy who played Doc Martin in The Village in Cornwall, which was totally delightful, a doctor who couldn't stand blood.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole premise was great. But he's been out here in New Zealand. He did a famous film about bringing home the heads of the shrunken heads. Yes, can't think of the name of it. Yeah. But however, I've just started this because it's just so new into the library. It only came in the day before yesterday, and I sort of selected it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I won't have time to read it. Something to do with reading a mystery, which I had to know the answer of. But A Dog's Life, it's actually based on a TV series that he's doing, called A Dog's Life, I think, and for ITV. So he talks about going to Fraser Island in Queensland, Australia, and then about Yellowstone National Park to see dingoes and wolves, respectively. And it also talks about his own dogs. And as you can imagine, he's a wonderful raconteur, and it just comes out in his writing. So that's Martin Clune's A Dog's Life, for something light to finish up with.
That sounds great, Rosalie. Well, if any of those books intrigued you, the last time Chinese Chef by Nicole Moens, or maybe Martin Clune's A Dog's Life, or maybe you just want to pick up that Going Green, The Wise Consumer's Guide to a Shrinking Planet, and get some little handy little notions to do your bit for the earth, get yourself along to the library and check it out. Maybe have a word to Rosalie or any of the other lovely staff that they have working there to give you a hand. And also there's lots of other information that you can get. Like they do have a pamphlet on with letting you know when the Lantern Festival is for celebrating the Chinese New Year, or the start of the Lunar Year, which is going to be running from the 5th. Hang on, where are we? From the 6th of February to the 8th at Albert Park in Auckland, from 5 in the afternoon till 10:30 at night. And it is beautiful. If you haven't checked out the Lantern Festival, I totally recommend it. It is just divine. Pick yourself up some takeaways or a bottle of wine or something and just head along and sit in the park. It's absolutely exquisite.
Thank you very much, Dion.
Hey, thank you, Rosalie.
Soul Sister is a hot new talent on the island's music scene, and she caught up with Dion, who found out a little bit about her background and what she's been up to.
Right, joining me in the studio, we have Miss Soul Sister.
What's up?
How's it going?
Good, good. Cool.
Just got to hook her up with the microphone. Righty hoes, and now this is Mel. I'm going to play her track. She's got a single.
Jar Rising with the name of the.
Jar Rising?
Yeah.
Okay, let's play it and have a little listen. Okay, tell us a little bit about you.
About me?
About you.
Well, single. No, just kidding. No. My career with music is just really starting to come to fruition over here on the island, actually. So I've been singing probably for about 10 years and stuff, but professionally it's been happening the last couple of years. So
yeah.
It's really exciting. It's really exciting. A lot of it's about my chance to have a say, to try and awaken our people to their own greatness and their own beauty and the truth. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a fresh local.
A fresh local?
Fresh on the waka.
Fresh off the boat.
Yeah, since last year. But I think, you know, for my son and I, that finally found home, so it's cool. Mm. Yeah.
And you're beginning a few gigs over here. I see you've been playing at the Sandbar.
Yeah.
It's late last year. I missed those gigs. But then I hear you're playing at Malone's as well, trying to get sort of a jam session sort of happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got it. It's quite funny. I've got Sandbar later on this afternoon. So kind of like the deck session, like the sister Nikki Ngātai was doing and stuff on the Sunday. But because they've opened the deck, we've been jamming out the back there, so that's from 4 till 6 today.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thursdays I've created as a come jam with me kind of, and I can't wait till you come and jam with me, sis, because I'm, you know, rather than it just being about my stuff, I think it's important, you know, like just jamming with people and seeing what can be created on the spot, just through music and love, and
Awesome.
So that, yeah, that's every fortnight it happens, Thursday night at Malone's from 8 o'clock. I mean, people can jump up and do their own stuff and, yeah, or else just jam with me on a djembe or congas or...
And how did last Thursday go for the jam?
It was cool. It was very cool. We had M. Watts, Miss Sarah Mwadi. She got up and did her own set, which was really great to see, you know, as a young musician, her representing her own stuff and her own style and that. We also had Icy and Sister Lola, or Lula, getting up and playing on the djembe. So that was, it kind of brought a different song, a different style to the night. Plus a different vibe to the night, you know, I mean, Malone's got its own vibe, so it was kind of nice to have it be about come jam with me, you know, and be free, like, to just muck it up or play with it. So it was cool. They did really good. They did really good. People loved it. So we're creating another jam session on Monday afternoon as our anniversary day kind of barbecue setting.
Awesome.
That's going to happen from like 2 till 6. So
2 till 6?
So any musicians out there, come and have a jam.
Sounds all good. Mm. And the samba thing that's happening today, this afternoon?
Yeah, 4 to 6.
Yeah. Awesome. And where do you see yourself heading with your music? Are you going to look at maybe touring?
Definitely. I'd love to start with Aotearoa, but I'm kind of open. Like, if Jow says international, then I'll go that way. If he says national, then I'll... there was a couple that have invited me to go to Connecticut, so I'm... open to whatever's gonna, you know, whatever, wherever the pathway leads, I'm open to.
Sure.
Just, you know, I'm really committed that my son can get whatever he wants to do in his life. He can do that, and I have it, that the only way I can show him that is to represent that. And yeah, so.
Sharing your gift.
Yeah, and have him see it's okay. Life is okay. You don't need to be whakama.
Yeah.
Do your thing, baby, and represent, and it's all good.
Yay. And now, is there any, like, whispers of an album or anything being recorded? Or
yeah, hopefully we're looking at doing an EP in February, so next month, so that hopefully we'll be out in March. It's just getting confirmation from the brothers. I've been blessed with these brothers from, if anyone came to the Native Festival, the brothers that jammed with us that day, Native Soldier. Yes. Not so much the sisters, unfortunately, but the brothers are still, my son's just singing the song. so we're looking at bringing out the EP in March, hopefully a cassette, a CD single in March as well, which is the song about my mother. A lot of people like that because they can relate to the words for their own mother, so... Yeah.
Awesome. And who recorded this song?
Was it a guy, Dunham Island? No, it's actually out out West Auckland. His name's Dick Reed. He does Outback Productions. He does mainly film. I got a connection through Katarina Pipi, who does Te Reo Māori Waiata, and he recently did Whirimako Black, her last album in Arija. So that was a blissful hookup because he's so perfection with recording and the quality of the recording.
High standards.
Yeah.
Whirimako Black is an incredible
mana wahine.
Yeah,
she's beautiful. I've met her off stage and she's just as beautiful. She's so cheeky. You know, like us Māori, we're quite cheeky and playful. But she's so soulful on stage. Yeah. I'd love to open for her actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Has she been one of your inspirations with your music?
Definitely, definitely. I think just the way that she pronounces her reo is very clear. I mean, and my reo isn't very good. I know the basics, you know, but he iti he pono, I mean, it's small, but it's a treasure, you know.
Yeah.
But in listening to her, you can feel what she's singing, just, you know.
Yeah.
Mm, so.
Wow. Who else would be your inspirations?
Definitely Bob. Definitely. I'd say with his truth and with speaking, you know, from the Rasta, the word of Jah. Other than that, I'd have to say Erica Badu. I like the different kind of beats and that she brings. Hey, hey. Live cam.
Live cam and radio. Just when you think no one can see you on the radio
exactly.
station.
The world can.
Yeah, well, you can check that out on the net. www.wakeyradio. Community yeah. radio, that is.
Okay, so, no. Yeah, no, but definitely Erica Badu. Jill Scott. Just, yeah. Yeah.
All the sisters.
Mm.
Yeah. There's some pretty strong voices that just there.
Definitely. I think as well their message, you know, the message is everything. Like my music is not very instrumental or anything like that. It's mainly the lyrics that, if you actually hear the lyrics, a lot of truth is spoken.
Yeah.
A lot of it has me triumph against my tribulations in life and stuff, but it reminds me to stand strong and to, you know, tribulations are an everyday thing. Mm. But blessings are always on the other side, and when you're in that tribulation, you forget about the blessing, you know.
Yeah.
Forget about, hey, you know, something good's gone on its way. So,
yes.
But yeah,
songs from the heart.
Yeah, soul speaking.
Cool. Hey, well, let's turn up your song.
Cool.
Is this the soul brother? That was
Ja Rising.
Ja Rising, the guys.
Native Soldier.
Native Soldier.
They're actually called Soldier. Their band alone, they're Soldier. But so we got Tawhiti on the drums, Rubes on the guitar, that massive solo there.
Yeah,
and then we got Cliff on the bass. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, let's play that again. We can listen to it properly.
Shout us, Mariela.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning and
Wai Kia ora.
Community Kia ora. Radio. That was Mel, who is Soul Sister, who will be at the Sandbar this afternoon. But before then, she's going to head down to the markets and do some busking.
Yeah.
So check her out, give her some support, dance with her in the sunshine.
Sure.
Or maybe get yourself along to Sandbar, or maybe even Malone's for that jam session on Monday afternoon. This is Soul Sister. That is the Native Soldiers. But I'm playing you the instrumental version because I'm going to cut that and get to where we can hear Miss Soul Sister. We've got the news up next.
To be judging me.
Every week we're joined on Island Life by Steve from the Village Butchery to talk about food.
Hey, joining me in the studio right now is Steve from the Village Butcher. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Nice and bright and sunny.
It's a very sunny, summery day today. Hey, what have you got in store for us? Have you got some recipes or some maybe some ideas for how we hit our summer with our meats?
Get outside and be primitive. Just some meat, some vegetables, some salad. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Barbecue. And enjoy it. Yes.
Barbecues are great, aren't they? Being outside, cooking under the in, under the sun at the beach. Well, what sort of things? You know, but it's kind of like people are a bit more into healthier living these days, aren't they? The sort of days of heaps of snarlers, sausages, and white bread on the barbie is sort of like people are getting a bit more.
Yeah, I think people actually should. I mean, I want people to eat meat. That's how I earn a living, but
yeah.
They probably put too much emphasis on how much meat they have. A little bit of meat and some salad, some barbecued vegetables, grilled, char grilled stuff, lots of that, and a little bit of meat just to keep you interested.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's it's quite sad when you see people having a barbecue and they have the steak, sausage and chop,
and
tomato sauce, and
loads of white bread with tons of butter.
It. Yeah, that's it. There's a lot more you can do. It doesn't take much more imagination to do it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Less is more.
Yeah. Get a bit more creative.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do things like, make a salad, like make a pork salad, like throw, what would be a good cut of, that you'd use to, make a pork salad with?
Well, something like maybe pork belly.
Yeah.
That's nice and fatty, but you cook it slowly first and then finish it off on a high fire.
Yeah.
It gets all crispy, crunchy, bit of marinade on there, and then mix that through a salad.
Yeah.
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Noodles, the crispy noodle sort of thing, and just mix it all in. You've still got your meat.
Yeah.
And you probably enjoy it. Yeah. A little bit more, instead of thinking, I've got to eat all this.
A huge
plate of meat. But I think people should actually experiment.
Yeah.
You know, just try something. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't like that, but they've never eaten it.
Yeah.
So actually, they don't know whether they like it or not. It's just the idea, the thought that's.
Yeah,
so
shift your thinking.
Yeah. It's things like liver and kidneys and things like that. If you get some kidneys and wrap them in bacon, put them on the barbecue.
Okay.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Really? What sort of livers are you talking about?
Well, lamb liver.
Like a lamb liver.
Pork liver. Kidneys. Certainly pork kidneys or... lamb kidneys,
yeah,
and just wrap them
in some bacon.
In some bacon, put them on a skewer,
yeah,
a couple of pieces, fantastic, and a nice dressing.
Yeah,
be I'm getting hungry now. It's just stop thinking what you have to do and just.
Yeah, look outside of the
screen. Have a look left and right and see what other people in other places do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, misconceptions or ideas that people have. Ooh, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
And until you've tried it, Japanese or, raw fish, ooh, yuck.
Yeah.
But until you've actually been there and had it.
And had a taste.
People just don't get it. Just give it a bash. Have a go.
Yeah. Hey, have you got a little favourite recipe for a marinade that you could share with us?
Olive oil. Or a vegetable oil. You can't go wrong with garlic. As a quick marinade. Bit of sugar, salt and pepper, and some fresh rosemary or thyme. Instant marinade. If you're going to marinate something a bit longer, you can put juniper berries in there and bay leaves and...
Yeah,
it's a 3 or 4 day job before you actually cook it. You know,
just
some onion, carrot, celery, red wine, and just leave it and don't mess with it.
Yeah,
just let it sit there and do its thing. Now and again, go and turn it over.
Yeah,
so it's all in, but it's not an instant.
Yeah.
It's not an instant one, but if you want a quick one, oil, garlic, salt and pepper,
bit of sugar,
some
rosemary oil,
fresh herbs, lemon juice.
You're away.
Done.
Now, what sort of meat? What? I mean, do you need to use a good cut of steak for a marinade, or can you just use the cheaper?
Depending on how you're going to cook it. Depends on the meat. A lot of people will say, oh, that's too expensive and I'm going to barbecue it anyway.
Yeah.
Basically, if you do that, you're throwing your money away.
Mm.
You might as well...
Get the good cut.
Get a good one.
Mm.
If you're going to do a long, slow cooking,
the
cheaper cuts are...
Like a blade steak.
Better, even shin beef.
Yeah.
Just nice and slow.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to be a bit impatient. You know, they want a instant meat fix.
Yeah.
But depending on what you're going to do, depends on what you buy, really.
Yeah.
And you've just got to have that patience. If you want something instant, you're going to go for a higher quality cut that can be cooked fast and quick. If you've got a bit of time and you want to, you know, you're planning 3 days out, and you spend 3 or 4 hours cooking stuff, you can have fantastic, tasty food with slower cook sort of cuts of meat, which would be cheaper, but you have to give it the time. The muscles that work hardest taste better.
Yeah.
The muscles that don't, I mean, eye fillet steak is probably about the most boring piece of meat you'll ever eat.
Yeah.
And it's tender and it's gorgeous and all the rest of it, but...
But it's, it hasn't got the flavour.
Hasn't got any flavour.
Okay, there you go. So you know, you could spend the money in having those really nice choice cuts of meat that are tender, but they're not necessarily the best tasting.
Yeah. It's,
you
know, it's just time. It's time. That's, you know, the difference between something that costs $40-something dollars a kilo as opposed to something that costs $15 a kilo is time.
Yeah.
But what we call the cheaper cuts, which your stew, your braise, your slow roast, pot roast, that sort of thing, they have a lot more flavour than the instant fix chuck on the barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Hey, that's great. You've got me thinking. I'm especially thinking about those, the kidneys wrapped in and bacon for the barbecue. And,
excellent.
Yeah.
Or chicken livers.
Yeah.
A chicken liver with a bit of bacon.
Yeah.
I'm big fan of pork.
Yeah.
Pork fat. Because that does give you a lot of flavour. It just isn't right if it's not got pork fat.
Not the little bits.
In the cardiology department would
they wouldn't be promoting that.
They wouldn't
that,
be
would
promoting
they?
That. No, but it just, a lot of people tend to say, "Oh, I'm not going to eat fat. I cut it off."
Yeah. But it's actually got a lot of the, a lot of the flavour, isn't it?
It's all the flavour, it's the moisture. If you're going to cook anything, whatever it is, cook it with the fat. And if you don't want the fat, once then, it's cooked,
then take it off.
Take it off, put it to the side of your plate. Mm. If you cut it off first before you cook it, you're going to lose a lot of flavour, a lot of moisture. Mm. The meat will just dry out.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's, you know, it's got to be there. It's one of them things that you've got to put up with.
Yeah.
If you take it off in the first place, it's you ain't going to get it back.
No, it's not bland. It's all about moderation, isn't it, Steve? I mean, you know.
Well,
having little bits, not those big, huge pieces of steak.
I'm not talking about, you know, having a plate full of fat, Jack Sprat and all that sort of thing. But I'm talking about when you cook something, cook it with the fat. If you don't want to eat the fat, use your knife and fork, cut it off and put it to the side of the plate.
Yeah.
Because if you cut it off before you cook it, you've wasted a lot of time and money preparing it because you're going to bugger it up.
Yeah, and lose the flavour.
Simple as that. Can I say bugger on there?
You just did. Hey, there's some handy little tips in there from Steve from the Village Butcher. Hey, thanks, Steve, for joining us on the Island Life show this morning.
No No worries.
There you go. So if you're out in the sunshine today and you're planning to have a barbecue tonight, or maybe you're heading along to someone else's house to have one, maybe you want to just stop in at the Village Butcher and get a few little treats from there. Maybe make a pork salad, maybe get some steak, and maybe not necessarily the best cut of steak, but, you know, you might want to make a nice marinade, or maybe you want to get some of that bacon and wrap up some chicken livers. If you can brave it, mind over matter. There you go. That's Steve from the Village Butcher.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our Waiheke Focus magazine show, brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 here on Waiheke Radio. All of these interviews are available for download from our website, www.waihekeradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Waiheke Placemakers. Know how, can do.